We're learning Gemara Saita, Daf Yutes on the base. We started Tan Rabban on the top line. Bryce is going to continue with the Machlokes HaTanaim on Omer Aleph. Omer Aleph was a Machlokes, which do you do first? So the Chachamim are of the opinion, that's how we assume, that first she takes the Shavuah. She has to first take the Shavuah, and then the Kohen writes, because of HaKohen HaSol and Seyla Basefer. If she didn't take the Shavuah yet, then he's writing Psukim, he's not writing Shavuah. So first she has to take the Shavuah, then he writes it. Then you erase it. Then she has to drink the Maimon Morim, nothing happens, because you have to bring the Mincha Soita, Maskera Sovain. So it's going to be delayed reaction. The Meha Soita is not poisonous anyway. It's a bitter. Maim HaMorim, it's bitter. It doesn't taste good, but it's not poisonous. So it's a nest that she's going to die. Nest that anything is going to go wrong over here. It's a nest. But the Chachamim say it's a nest on top of a nest. It has a delayed reaction. First she drinks the Meha Soita and nothing happens at all. And then later when you bring the Mincha Soita, then the nest will occur and she's going to die because she drank the poisonous water. And Reb Shimon and Reb Akiva disagree and they say no. That first you bring the Mincha Soita, and only afterwards she drinks the Mai Mamorim. Right after she drinks the Mai Mamorim, then if she's guilty of the Loisinov, then she's going to start turning colors and then she's going to die. So the Gemara is going to have this long brisa explaining what the source for the Machlokes is. The source is Tana Rabbanon. So Rashi explains that in the Parsha Soito, the Hishka Soisha says three times. You only do it once. The Kohen only erases the Parshas, the Shavuos HaSoita that's written on the piece of parchment. He only erases it once, and she only drinks once. So why does it say three times? So each one tells you the normal way to do the Hashkos HaSoita, and the other one tells you, the other two tell you details of the Aloch. So that's the Machlokes HaTanaim. Which way is the normal way? Because one time it says first drinking the Maimamorim, and then it says bringing the Mincha Soita. Another time it says first the Mincha Soita, then drinking the Maimamorim. So the Tosfos on Omer Aleph quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi. In Soita, Tosfos quotes more Yerushalmis than in other Masechtos. Tosfos on every Kamat, on every Daf, quotes some added line from Yerushalmi. So Tosfos on Omer Aleph adds on a little to the Bavli, that both Reb Shimon and the Rabbanon, Reb Shimon holds first you bring this Mincha Soita, and then you drink the Maimamorim. Chacham hold that first you drink the Maimamorim has a delayed reaction, then you bring Mincha Soita. So they both agree that b'dieved, if you did it out of order, it's also okay. You don't have to repeat it. B'dieved, the nest will happen even though you didn't do it kedin. The Bavli doesn't fully say all of that. The Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi, fills in the missing information. So they both hold b'dieved, it's good. Just the Machlokes l'chatchila, which is the more correct way to do. So the Braisa spells it out. Tan Rabban v'hishka matal malaymar. It says three times v'hishka. So the answer is v'hishka means bal korcho. Shem nimchako ha-megillah. If they already erased erasing the Megillah Soita, you're erasing Shem Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave permission in order to bring about Shalom Bayis. He gave permission that they should erase his name. Shmei Shenichta B'Kdusha Imoch Al Amayim. And to complete the ness of the Soitish. Once you have Mechikas HaMegillah V'Ameris Eini Shoisa, if she admits that she's guilty, Tamei Ani, okay, so we don't want her to die. So we tell her, you admitted that you're guilty, Shoin, you lose your Ksuba, and you don't have to die. Don't drink the Maim Mambar. But if she just says, Eini Shoisa, I don't want to drink, and they ask her, are you guilty? She says, no, I'm innocent, but I don't want to drink. So if she says that before they erase the Megillah, so you stop over there. She doesn't want to drink the Maimamorim, okay. But if they already erased the Megillah, then of Ameris Eini Shoisa, then we force them. Ma'arim Moisa, Omashkim Moisa Bal Korcho. What does the word Ma'arim mean? This is a brisa. It says Ma'arim Moisa. It has a connotation of forcing her to drink the water. So the Mishnah has that expression also on the next daf. On Chof Amid Aleph, there's a Mishnah. So the sixth or the seventh line, maybe the eighth line in the Mishnah, says Ma'arim, the line begins Ma'arim Moisa, Umashki Moisa Bal Korcho. So on the Mishnah, Rabbi Kivega refers you to a Rashi in his commentary on Eov. So Rashi there comments on a pasuk. There's a pasuk that uses a verb that we never heard of in Tanakh. Ayin Lamed, Ayin Lamed. Alal. What does the verb mean? This is ayin lamed ayin lamed. Yeah. So what does the verb mean? It's one word. Ayin lamed ayin lamed. So Rashi says it means when a person sounds like he's choking because he's gargling, he's swallowing something. So his throat is going to make funny noises. So it's like a ow ow. They made a verb. The Tanakh made a verb out of ow ow. That's the sound. Okay. So then Rashi writes, and similar to that is the verb that appears in the Mishnah la'ar er. Also, when a person is swallowing liquid and he doesn't really want to drink it, so he's going to make a croaking sound, ar ar, something like that. So they made a verb out of the sound. There is no such verb in the Hebrew la'ar er. There is a verb la'ar er, to be ma'ar er about something. I say that you stole my field. I'm ar ar al-asada. That's la'ar er. Or to make a tumult about something, la'ar er, to make a fight, to pick a fight about something. But to use it over here, la'ar er, to force the woman to drink the mayim amarim, what does the verb mean? So Rashi says they made a verb, just like the Tanakh made a verb of... Okay, yeah. Similar. So that's what the Braisa quotes. Ma'ari Moisa, if they already erased the Megillah Saito, and she says, Tameyani, she admits Tameyani, okay? So we say, so don't die, don't bring the Mayim Amar. You admit that you're guilty. But if she insists, Tahara Ani, but Eini Shoisa, I refuse to drink it, then we don't let her say Eini Shoisa. Since they erased the Megillah, Ma'ari Moisa, Mashke Moisa, Bal Kocha, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon both hold the same. They both hold the same, namely that what? That first you bring the Mincha Saita, and then she drinks the Mayim Amarim, and the Nes will occur as she's drinking the Mayim Amarim, the Nes will occur that her eyes will bulge, and her blood vessels will bulge, and she's going to start the Misa Mishun is going to start right away. But they argue about some of the details. So first, the Braisa quotes Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, after bringing the Mincha Saita, then she drinks the Mayim Amarim. Same Rabbi Akiva says the same. What is the significance of that? It already says that she drinks the Mayim Amarim. First you have to bring the Mincha Saita, and then she drinks the Mayim Amarim. It's so far it's the same as Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara is going to explain what's the difference between them. So Rabbi Shimon continues, Magid, the Pasuk is teaching us, Gimel Dvar Ma'akvin Bo. There are three things that have to be fulfilled in order that the miracle should occur. The miracle that she's going to die from the Mayim Amarim. Number one, Atshalo Akor Ba'akoymetz. You have to first bring the Mincha Saita. Mincha Saita, you do a Kmitza. You burn that little bit on the Mizbeach. We're on Yud Tes on the base. You burn the Kmitza on the Mizbeach. And then the korban is korb. The kohanim is supposed to eat the shiori hamincha. What's left over, they're supposed to eat in the azorah. It's a kochim kochim. Supposed to eat a big dusha v'tar, but that's not ma'akev. Kohanim ochlem abalim miskapim. That the achilas kohanim is not ma'akev. But burning the kaimetz, that's ma'akev. First, you have to burn the kaimetz. That's called mincha soita was kreva. Number two, achilah nimcha kahamigila. You have to erase the megillah soita. Number three, achilah tekabel alei ashua. She has to swear first that she's innocent. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, the Gemara is going to soon ask. So the Gemara has the comment, the three things that are ma'akev in the Nes. So the first thing is, first, you have to be ma'akev, the Mincha Seita, and only afterwards, she drinks the Mayim Amarim. Why is that? Reb Shimu l'taimei, he goes to Shitosa, Anaman Alev, Deomar, ma'akev es Mincha Seita, ma'akev mashke. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Achele nimch, ma'akev mashke. Fine. Then it says, Achele nimcha kahamagila, the three things that are ma'akev, the Nes. So the first thing is, first you have to bring Mincha Soita. Second, you have to erase the Megillah Soita. So the Gemara says, of course you have to. If you don't erase the Megillah Soita, she's just drinking plain water. The whole idea, she drinks the water that has the ink erased in it. Frek the Gemara, Achele nimcha kahamagila. What is she drinking? Stam, you take water from the kir and she drinks it. The whole idea of that's pashut. You have to erase it. So what's the chiddush that's ma'akev? And for the Gemara, it means like this. Amar avashel anitzchal l'shevishuma nikar. Means like this. They wrote the mincha. She took the shvuas asoita, and then the kohen wrote the shvuas asoita on the cloth. and it's very thick ink. And then they erase it, and it's all black from the black ink. The water is all black from ink. It's not poisonous, but it doesn't taste good. But if you look back on the cloth, even though much of the ink was erased, but you can still make out the letters on the cloth. It's Rishuma Niker. Let's say if you have a Sefer Torah, and some of the OCS get rubbed out, but it's still Rishuma Niker, so it's still kosher. It's still kosher. Let's say you have tefillin, and some of the letters got erased, and you can't fit in a Sefer Torah. If one of the letters got rubbed out, you can correct it and write the letter. In tefillin and mezuzah, you can't correct it, because the din is that tefillin and mezuzah have to be written kesidra, has to be written in the correct order. So let's say one of the letters in the middle of the parasha, tefillin and mezuzah, got worn out a little bit. It doesn't have the same thickness of black ink that it had originally. But you can read it the way it is now. So it's kosher the way it is. So that's okay to take a pen with ink, with black ink, and make it thicker ink so it won't get rubbed out weiter. It won't continue. That's not called ksiva shalok kesidron, because all the letters can be read in proper order. So that's what the Gemara says over here. Because it's still, that's a question. What if it's, the din is that the yo has to be shachar. So what if you started off with ink that was black, and now everything got, all the black got rubbed off, and now it's only brown, so it's rishum and iker, you can read it, it's brown, but it's puzzle. So that's a discussion of Poskim, I think. I don't know what we Poskim Allah, but I know it's a discussion. Is that acceptable? Is that called ksiva shalok kesidron? Or not? Because the OCS are not kosher the way they are now. Let's say you have the OCS of the tefillin are touching each other. So that's not good. You need uchsav tom, ksiva tamo. Ksiva tamo, it's adrosha. The Pasuk says, uchsav tom al mezuzas beisech v'sherecha, means uchsav tem oisom. You should write these parshios, Shema v'hayayim Shemaya, on the mezuzas. So that the Pasuk pshat uchsav tom means uchsav tom oisom. Write these two parshios. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, ksiva tamo. You have to have a beautiful, perfect script that the letters shouldn't be touching each other. So what if you have, let's say, in a Sefer Torah, the letters are touching, so take a blade, and scratch it out in between, so it won't be touching. So in a Sefer Torah, there's no problem, because Shaloi Kisidron is not a problem. What if you have tefillin and mezuzahs, and you wrote Shema Yisrael Shema Kenesh Shema, you wrote, then you realize that some of the letters are touching, if you're gonna take a razor blade, whatever, and scratch out the ink in between. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if you can discern the letters, you can read what it says. Not that they're touching each other so much you can't figure out what it says. It says what it's supposed to say. It's just that there's a slight negiyah, so it's not a ksiva tama. So the hechsher of the oisis is going to be shalok kesidron. But the ksav was written kesidron. He wrote for shin, then mem, then ayin, then yud, then shin, shma yisrael. He wrote in order. And everything is, all the oisis are nikir. The only thing is that in order that it should be kosher, the oisis should be kosher, indeed there shouldn't be any negir. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, that's okay. So that's the shiloh over here. If you have letters, originally the ksav was written in black. And then all the black jumped off from the cloth, and then you're left with brown oisis. So brown does not have hechsher. But you can argue the point, but the oisis are still there. So you can say that the ksiva kesidron is still there from before. It's rishum and nikar. You don't require that the hechsher oisis should be in order. All you need is that the ksiva oisis. Or one could argue the point and say, no, if it's not black, so it's not even called ksiva oisis. So that's a diyun in Shulchan Aruch.
What? Once they just left, you can't read. Does it mean
that
ink has to be off, or
does it still have ink on it?
You can't tell the OCS anymore.
So
it
can
become a blob of ink. You can't tell the OCS,
but
it's a blob of ink.
Does
it mean
that
it's okay, or does it have everything has to be off completely?
I think it means everything has to be off. I think so. I'm not sure. I don't know. So Rabashi said that's a chiddush. If it's still be shuma nikar, I don't know. It means it can read the OCS, or even if it can't read the OCS, I don't know. That's a good shan. So that's what the Bryce is saying. You have to erase everything. You have to erase everything on the cloth. And then the third thing that's ma'akev in the miracle, the first thing is first you have to bring the mincha soita, and then she drinks, then you erase the mayim amarim afterwards, so she'll die right away. Second thing is you have to erase everything, even though much of the ink, the ruba of the ink, was dissolved in the water, in the mayim amarim, but you need to remove all of the ink. And the third thing is that she has to take the Shavua first. If she didn't take the Shavua yet, then the miracle is not going to happen. Feg de Gemara Kashe. Mishtahu de lo shasya. She doesn't drink the Maim HaMorim because the miracle is not going to happen unless she already took the Shvuah. The three things that are Ma'akev and the miracle. And the miracle is going to occur immediately, according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. The miracle is going to occur immediately at the conclusion of drinking the Maim HaMorim. Freg di Gemara, HaMichtav Kasri Lo. But that's okay. To write the Megillah Saita before she took the Shvuah, that's not a problem. Just a problem drinking it. Freg di Gemara, no, but we already learned on the previous daf. The din is, we explain, because the person of a kasav hakanis all the sayla basefer. He doesn't write psukim for the chumash. He has to write the shvua, so she didn't take the shvua yet, so it's not called hala sayla. So why did the brisa quote Reb Shimon as saying there are gimel dvar ma'akvim in the miracle of dying from the maimon morim was only promised if you did all the three things. One of them was that she should have taken the Shvuah, that she's innocent, that's a Shvuah L'Shoava. And then she takes a Shvuah L'Haba, that if I'm guilty, I should die, Misa Mishunim. That was the Shvuah, but the Shvuah Sa'ala. Frek the Gemara, that she has to take the Shvuah, that's a prerequisite in the Ksivas HaMegillah. Mechikas HaMegillah is Ma'akev, the Hakravas HaMincha is Ma'akev. What do you say, the Amiris HaShvuah, Amiris HaShvuah, is Ma'akev and Iksivas HaMegillah. Why do you mention this as one of the three things that's Ma'akev in the miracle? And for the Gemara, you're right, Kedi Nosvo, that line in the Brayse said there are three things that are Ma'akev in the miracle, that line doesn't make any sense. It's mentioned unnecessarily. It's a given, it's obvious that the taking of the Shavuah is Ma'akev in the miracle because the reciting of the Shavuah, the part of the Saito, has to take place before the Kohen writes the Parasha, which has to take place before you erase the Parasha. So say only two things are Ma'akev in the miracle. The erasing of the Parasha, completely erasing of the Parasha. Of course she has to take the Shul before. She has to take the Shul before you write the Parasha. Say two things are Ma'akev. Erasing the Parasha and the Hakrovas Mincha Sarim in advance. And Gemara says, you're right, Kedi Nozva. The Braisa mentioned it unnecessarily, that three things are Ma'akev. It's really two things are Ma'akev. The Amiris HaShua is Ma'akev and the Ksivis HaParasha. Zogdi Gemara, so B'mai Kamifligi, Rabbi Akiva and Reb Shimon. Basically, they say the same thing. What is the Nekudas HaMachloikis? And what do the Chachamim disagree with both of them? The Chachamim disagree, and they hold everything as the reverse order. First, you erase the, she takes the Shvuah, and you write the Parsha, and you erase it, then she drinks it, and then nothing happens. And after she drinks it, then you bring the Mincha Saita. So the Gemara asks, there are three Shitas here. There's Reb Shimon, and Reb Akiva, and the Chachamim. So what is the Nekudas HaMachlokes? What are they fighting about? Zog the Gemara b'maikom b'fligi. So the Gemara explains what Rashi said on the top. Kolosa kroi k'sivi, it says three times, Ashkos HaSoitin. You don't break it up into three parts. She only drinks the Mayim once. It says v'hishka kama, the beginning it says v'hishka. Then it says v'acha yashke. And then it says v'hishka basra. A second time it says v'hishka kainas isha. So what do you need three times? So Rabbanan Savri, the Chachamim hold, that first you drink the Maim HaMorim and then you bring the Mincha Soito. That's the way it's described in the first pasuk. Vishka Koines Oisho, and then you do the Mincha Soito afterwards. It's going to be a delayed reaction. Rabbanan Savri, the Chachamim hold Vishka Kama Lugufoi. That's the normal description of Parsha Soito. Shemashka first, Vacharkach Makares Minchasa. That's the first pasuk. Then it says, the next pasuk says, Vachayashke, afterwards you should give her the Maim HaMorim. What do you need that for? Tzveitamal, Meboilish, Erishum, and Niker. You have to erase everything. Even though the Mei HaSoito, the Mayim, and the cup is full of the black ink, but if it's still Rishum and Niker, you have to erase everything. And then the Hishka Basra, what do you need the third Pasuk for? That says again Hishka, that tells me, Shem Nimcha Kam Megillah, Meres, and Ishoisa, Ma'arim Mosa, Mashke Mosa, Bal Korcha. After they erase the Megillah, then we force her to drink the Maim HaMorim, unless she admits to Me'ani. If she admits that that's the end of the story, we don't want her to die. But if she says she insists to her Ani, then he shows her, so then it's too late. After Mechikas HaMegillah, it's too late to say that. So that's what the Chachamim hold. That's what we assume. Reb Shimon disagrees. Reb Shimon Tzavar, Bacha Yashke Legufoy. He holds that the first says Vishka, the third time says Vishka, middle time says Vachayashke. So by the Achayashke, It says first they bring the mincha soita, and then va'acha yashke, after bringing the mincha soita. So Reb Shimon holds the middle description is the correct description. Reb Shimon says va'acha yashke lugufoi, that's the normal seder of soita. The haynu shemakves mechaz v'chakach mashke. I what's v'hishka kama? The first time it says it backwards. It says first you mashke the mayim, and then you bring the mincha soita. So that teaches you that b'diyevet, if you did it out of order, the miracle will also occur. The Seder is not miyakev, and the miracle will still, shem hishka v'chakach ikrev esmelchas, if you do it out of order, is also k'sher. That's all the Bavli says. The Bavli never says, according to the Chachamim, the Reb Shimon, what will be the din if you did it backwards? What will be the din if you brought first the mincha soita, and then your mashke? Reb Shimon holds, you do it like that, l'chatchila. So the Bavli never says, but the Chachamim say, that's what Taisos on Amin Aleph, quoted from the Yerushalmi, that each of them holds a b'diyevet, the Seder is not miyakev, and the miracle is promised anyway. And then the third time it says, v'hishka basra, the third time, what are we up to? Nachum Rab Shimon, tzavar acha yashke, the middle description, l'gufay, that's the normal way. And then, v'hishka kama, the first time it says, out of order, that tells you b'diyevet. Shemishka v'chakach ikrim mechosek shera. What's v'hishka basra, the third time? That tells you the din that he said before. Shem nimcha kamigil v'amayin shoysa, ma'arimosa, yifosa mashkemosa balkorcha. Freg the Gemara, why don't the Chachamim agree with Reb Shimon? Why do they insist that the first time says three times v'hishka? The first time it says it, that's the normal way. And the second time, that tells him a detail. Reb Shimon says, no, the second time is the normal way. The first time tells him if you did it out of order, it's good. So the Gemara says, v'rabbanan, that doesn't make any sense. You don't start off the parsha by telling you the din. If b'diyevet you did it out of order, first you have to tell me what the correct order is. So that's a machlekes Reb Shimon and the Rabban. Shimon holds that the first time it's mentioned in the parsha geta b'diyevet, and the second time is lahatchil. The Rabban say it's not mistaber at all. Sure. So there's Reb Shimon and Reb Akiva both say the same thing. The first you bring the mincha soita, and only afterwards you mashke, and the miracle occurs normally. She drinks the water and she starts, we treat it as if it's poison, she's going to die. Then the Gemara is going to say there's a detailed machlekes between Reb Shimon and Reb Akiva. The Gemara is going to mention it later. Freg the Gemara, isn't there a contradiction within Reb Akiva? The Sova Reb Akiva, is it really true what we just said? That he thinks mashke moisa bal korcho, you force her to drink, we said before, on the top of the brisa. The first four lines on this Omid, first four lines on Yutas on the base, it says Divrei Rebbe Akiva, and those, that's on the fourth line, it says Divrei Rebbe Akiva. So the first four lines Rebbe Akiva is speaking. So on the second line he says the Hishka. Why does it say yeah? Shem Nimcha Kamegila Meres Ani Shoysam. If they erased already the Megillah, said they erased Shem Hashem. If she admits Tmei Ani, it's fine. She doesn't admit, she says Torah Ani, I don't want to drink. So it's too late to say Ani Shoysam Ari Moysam. Freg di Gemara, is that Rabbi Akiva's opinion? So Rabbi Akiva, is it true what the Brisa says? Mashke Moshe Bal Korcho, you force her to drink. For Hatanya, we have a Brisa. The Rabbi Akiva says you don't have to force anybody anything. If the woman says Ani Shoysa, that's the equivalent of saying Tmei Ani. Why should we force her? We say you have a Brera. Say Tmei Ani, we won't give you the money. She says no. Tahora Ani Ani Shoysa. So the business says, lady, if you say Ani Shoysa, we take it as an admission of guilt. Rabbi Akiva says, what? There's no need to force her to drink. When she says, Eini shoysa, after we already erased the Megillah, so the jig is up, that's the end of the story. So the Gemara quotes this. Rabbi Akiva says that, Aivu hatanya, we have a tosefta. Rabbi Yudah says, Kalbu shol barzim atil matoch pia. Sometimes we have to open her jaw, like the dentist sometimes has to hold your mouth open when he has to do work inside. So you put a metal thing in the mouth, matilim etoch pia shenimcha kahamegillah. If they already erased the shem Hashem in the Megillah, any shoysa, she doesn't say tamei ani. If she says tamei ani, fine, that's the end of the story. Let her not die. She says any shoysa, then we don't accept it. We force her to drink the mayim amorim. Marimos mashkemos bakoch. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Says no. If you already erased the Megillah and she says any shoysa, we take it as an admission of guilt. That's the same as saying Tmeyani. So isn't this in contradiction to the top Raisa? The top Raisa, the first four lines are Divrei Reb Akiva. He said the same as Reb Yudah said. That if you already erased the Megillah and she says, Eini Shoysa, we force her to drink it. And here he says there's no need to force her when she says any shasa. That's the equivalent of saying tamayani. Omer Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Yudah. Kluma netzicha me'ala lebotka. The whole purpose of the Maimamorim is to check to see whether she's innocent or guilty. V'halo beduka v'yamedes. He says she says any shasa means that she's admitting her guilt. Ella, so Rabbi Akiva says no, a different word. Al shel korev hako. So that's already the kasha. That's already the kasha. On the top right of the first four lines, Rabbi Akiva says you force her. If you already raised the Megillah and she says Tameyani, you don't force her to drink. If you already raised the Megillah, she says Tohirani, Avaleini Shoisa, I'm afraid, I don't want to go further. So in the top brisa, Rabbi Akiva says, you force her to drink. Here Rabbi Akiva says, you don't have to force her. It's taken as the equivalent of an admission of guilt. So this is the contradiction in Rabbi Akiva.
Do we have a concept that another makes for Russia?
We do have such a concept. There are exceptions to the rule. There are some cases. Tosis asked the kasha when, a person comes to the Beis Hamikdash and he says, "I did an avera, I'm going to make a korban chatos." So you're going to say, "Ein on meis matzah meirosha." We don't believe you. We can't be makir of your korban. So what do you mean? But the guy says, "I need kapar." So the chumash says, "Ein on meis matzah meirosha" means the bezin can't accept it. To give him a punishment. Because in order for Bezin to give Malkus Amisa, we have to have a Birur. So the Birur, when he says, "I did a sin," he's neman on himself personally. So when a person comes to the Beis Hamikdash, he says, "I want to bring a korban." So if he would have been a Kohen, don't ask any questions. Walk into the Beis Hamikdash, put on a uniform, big dekuna, and be maker of your korban. You're neman for yourself. They ask him, "What are you doing?" He says, I have to bring a korban. Don't ask me any questions. As Nishkin Kohen, he's a lady or Yisrael. So the Torah says, "Ahot Ne'amon is bagloip to say on himself, I did an aver, benola benatzma liatzma, he's bagloip." And then the Kohanim have to bring the korban on his behalf, because otherwise the whole story doesn't get off the ground. It doesn't function otherwise. So here also, the woman says to me, I don't want to drink the Mai Mamarim. So we have to believe her. She says to me, we have to believe her. So the Gemara is going to ask, there are two contradictions of Rabbi Akiva. So the first contradiction is what we just said. On the top four lines on Amud Beis, they quote Rabbi Akiva saying the same as Rabbi Yehuda in this Tosefta, that if they already erased the Shem Hashem in the Megillah and she says, "Eini Shoisa," we force her to drink. And here Rabbi Akiva makes fun of Rabbi Yehuda. He says, that doesn't make any sense. If they erase the Shem Hashem and she refuses to drink, we don't force her to do anything. We say we accept your admission that you're guilty. When you say any shoysa now, it's too late. We take that as an admission of guilt. So on this, the Gemara asked us, the Gemara says, take a look on the third wide line. The Gemara is going to answer, loy kasha, not that the two versions of what Rabbi Akiva said. The two different admissions, when she says any shoysa, it depends. How does she say any shoysa? If she's shaking and trembling and she's petrified, and she says any shoysa, we don't take it as an admission of guilt. We say she's scared. So we say, "Lady, don't be afraid. There's nothing poisonous there. If you're innocent, nothing is going to happen." So if she would have said any shoysa earlier, before Mechikas HaMegillah, then we would have said, "Okay, any shoysa." So that stops the whole story. If they already raised the Megillah, then she's falling to pot. She says any shoysa. So we say, "We're going to hold your hand. Don't be afraid. You drink the Mamam, I'm going to force you." But if she says she's not petrified, they erase the Megillah, then she looks with a straight face, she says, "Eini shoysa." So Rabbi Akiva says, "You're admitting that you're guilty." If she's scared and she's petrified, then we take it as she has pachad, that she may die because she thinks that it's poisonous. So we say, "You're not going to die, we're going to force her to drink." But if she says, "Eini shoysa," that's the Gemara's distinction. Hoda kahadra bo loy kasha, the Gemara has on a third wide line. Loy kasha, there's no contradiction in the two Rabbi Akivas. Resisa means she's shaking and trembling. So if she backs out, she says any shoysa, because she's shaking, then we force her to drink it. But if she stands there and looks her straight in the eye, she says, "I'm not going to drink." So then we tell her, we take this as an admission of your guilt. So then you don't have to force her to drink. We assume that she's guilty. So, but let's, yeah.
We're calmless.
Rashi has a description here. Doesn't it work come up in the Nochus where Rashi has a feature like a telephone dial or something?
I don't remember. I don't know. Could be. I don't know. So the Gemara is interpreting the Lashon of Hachi Kamar, and the fourth line from the bottom, Hachi Kamar, what Rabbi Kiva meant to say in the Braisa was the following, Kol Machmas B'Riyusa, Klal L'Klal, Lo Shasya. If the woman says, Eini Shoysa, and she's standing there with a straight face, she's not scared at all, then we don't force her to drink. We say, lady, you say that, we take that as an admission that you're guilty. And if it's Machmas Risisa, and if she's shaking, so then it depends when she says it. See, if she says it early on, Machmas Risisa, if she shakes, Achala Karva Kaimetz, if they didn't bring the Minchas, the Saita yet, Rakata Limchat Megillah, Inami Imchat Megillah, Shlaki Davikan, and the Machkia, yeah. So then the Gemara says it depends, but we allow her to say Eini Shoysa or not. Okay. So we have to. You have to learn this Gemara. The Gemara now explains there was another detail machlekes here between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon. They both agree. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon both say the same thing. First, they bring the minchas hasaita, and then you have the hashkoas hamayim. So that the miracle is, it's not a miracle on top of a miracle. When she finishes drinking, then she's going to start getting sick, as if it would be poison. What happens if you did it out of order? So out of order is also. The Seder is not Miyaked, according to Reb Shimon for sure, and Tais Kotzi Rishon, even according to Rabban, the Seder is not Miyaked. But if Nimcha Koha Megillah, then it's too late to say Eini Shoysa. Let's say she's trembling. If she's not trembling, she says Eini Shoysa, then we tell her, you're going to say Eini Shoysa, and you don't look like you're nervous, then we take it as an admission of guilt. If she's trembling, she says Eini Shoysa. Then we said it depends. Rabbi Kiva distinguishes. If she says Eini Shoysa before Mechikas HaMegillah, that's the end of the story. If she says after Mechikas HaMegillah, it's too late. Now Rabbi Kiva adds on, this is the point that he disagrees with Rabbi Shimon. What happens? They're supposed to do Mechikas HaMegillah at the end. Bein le Rabbi Shimon, bein le Rabbi Kiva. Supposed to first bring the Minchas HaSoito, Korib HaKoymetz, and then write the Megillah, erase it. And then she's supposed to drink at the end. What if they did out of order? So if he did out of order, but the evidence would be good. What if they did out of order? They erased the Megillah before bringing the Minchas Soito, and then she says Eini Shoysa. So since they did, so Rabbi Akiva's opinion is, since they did Shaloi Kiddin, they weren't supposed to erase the Megillah until after bringing the Minchas Soito. So that has the status like Kodim Mechikas HaMegillah. So Kodim Mechikas HaMegillah, if she says Eini Shoysa, it's okay. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees on this point. Rabbi Shimon says, no, once they already erased the Megillah, even though they did it, Shaloi Kedin, so we don't allow her to say Eini Shoysa, we would force her. So that's what the Gemara is filling in this point here. On the last four lines on the Amud.
Rabbi Shimon has no qualification of her Susa. Rabbi Shimon has no qualification of her Susa, no matter how she acts.
Yeah. Yeah,
not like
no. I think so. That's Rabbi Akiva holds like Chiddush. If she says Eini Shoysa, and she's not nervous at all, she doesn't seem to be shaking, then we take it as an admission of guilt. Rabbi Shimon doesn't say, but they all agree. If once she says Eini Shoysa after Mechikas HaMegillah and she's shaking, then they all agree. Mashkim Osa Bal Karcha. So Rabbi Akiva holds that's only if they did the Mechikas HaMegillah in the right order. First they brought the Minchas Soita, then they did Mechikas HaMegillah. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees, says no, even if they already did the Mechikas HaMegillah Shaloi Kisidra, since the Seder is not Miyakev, so if they did Mechikas HaMegillah before, so we're also going to force her. Also going to force her to drink it. So that's what the Gemara fills in. V'achi Kamar, here four lines from the bottom of the Amud. V'achi Kamar, this is what Rabbi Kiva says. Kol Machmas B'Riyusa, if she's not shaking, she's standing there with a straight face. Klal Klal Lo Shasya. We don't give her the Maimon Marim, we tell her we take it as an admission of guilt. If it's Machmas Risisa, if she's shaking and trembling, so then we distinguish, Rabbi Kiva distinguishes. Achala Karba Koimetz. If they didn't bring the Minchas Oimah yet, which is supposed to precede the Hashkoah Samayim according to Rabbi Kiva, Akati Leimcha Kamigila, you weren't supposed to You didn't erase the Megillah yet. And even if you did erase the Megillah, you weren't supposed to. Inami imchek Megillah, even if you did erase the Megillah, you did Shalai Keseder. So Shalai Keseder wouldn't be Miyake B'dieved, but here it's relevant. Since they did Shalai Kedin Ovid Kohanim, they did wrong. The Machki, we weren't supposed to erase the Megillah before Hakrovis Minchas Koimer. Then Motzi Hadrabo, then she can say any Shoisa. If she says any Shoisa after Mechikas HaMegillah, Shaloi Kedin, it was before the Akroiz Bin Chazaymer, that's like saying any Shoisa before Mechikas HaMegillah. Mishikorev HaKoimetz, if first they brought the Min Chazaymer, the Kedin of it, Kohanim de Machki, they did Kedin, they brought the Min Chazaymer, then they wrote the Megillah, then they erased the Megillah, did everything normal, then Lamotzi Hadbo, then we don't allow her to back out by saying any Shoisa. Then the only Teret she can give is she says Tmeyani, okay. If she'll say Tmeyani, then they won't be Mashki. Even if it's true, even if it, not inami means od yeshlaima. No, even if this happened, how do you read it again? Machmas v'sisa again, the third line from the bottom. Machmas v'sisa. If the woman is trembling, achalakorav hakoymets. If you didn't bring the minchas soita yet, that's way before. Dakata leimchak megillah. The megillah was not yet erased because the megillah is supposed to be erased. Later on, after the Mincha Soito, Inami, even if the case would be Imchik Megillah, because the Kohanim did Shalokidin of the Kohanim, the Machki, they weren't supposed to, so she can still say Eini Shoisa. Because that's like saying Eini Shoisa, Koine Mechikas HaMegillah. Even though it's Lachar, but the Mechikas HaMegillah was not supposed to have taken place. But if they did everything in order, first they brought the Mincha Soimer, then they erased the Megillah, and then she says Eini Shoisa, so then Rabbi Kiva will agree that it's too late to say any shoyis. So now the Gemara points out there's another contradiction between the two brises. We had one contradiction that in the second brise, Rabbi Kiva says that you never force the woman to drink. Sounds like you never force. The top brise says you do force her to drink. After Mechikas HaMegillah, so the Gemara says it depends. Is she nervous and falling to pieces? Then you force her to drink. If she says it with a straight face, we take her statement as any shoisa as an admission of guilt. That was a teretz. Now the Gemara says, but look carefully. There's another contradiction. The top brisa says on the second line, shem nimchaku hamegillah. If they erase the megillah and she says any shoisa, then you force her to drink. And the second brisa, what does Rabbi Akiva say? Actually, the first white line on the Amud. She can say Eine Shaisa up until Hakrobas Hakoimetz of the Mincha Soita. Mishikor Bakoimetz, she can't. We don't accept her statement Eine Shaisa. Isn't that a contradiction? And the top price it says after Mechikas HaMegillah, after erasing Shem Hashem. Then we don't accept her statement any shoisa. She has to eat, we'll force her to drink it, or she has to say tameyani. And the second brisa doesn't say that it depends on mechikas hamigila. The second brisa says it depends on korva koymets, on the first wide line. So the Gemara says that is a contradiction. That's the top line on Chof HaMeral. The Gemara says, wait a minute. Kasha de Rebbe Kiva. There's another contradiction. The first contradiction, we far emphat. It depends whether she says any shoisa, she's shaking and trembling, or she's saying with a straight face. But this is another contradiction. Kasha de Rebbe Kiva, Hasam Amar, Mechika Meyakvo. On the top brisa, he says, in Nimchaka HaMegillah. Then we don't allow it to say. And he shows of a in the second brisa, he says a different word, koimetz me'akev. He says they have to care about koimetz. Isn't that a contradiction? Which is it? So the Gemara says, you're right, there's no way to answer this contradiction. Tretanai, leave it Rabbi Kiva. There are two versions of what Rabbi Kiva said. He had many students, Someone wrote down the notes correctly, someone wrote it wrong. So the two versions of what Rabbi Kiva said, he only said one thing. Either he said one or the other. So that's Taka two versions. We're not sure which is the correct version. Then the Gemara has an interesting shaila. What's a din if a person makes a hedos baldin? I admit that I owe you $1,000. They got to pay. And then a week later, and there are witnesses who were there, and when I admit that I owe the money. Then a week later, he come to collect the money. I give a whole explanation why I made a hadas baldin. That's called an amasla. I give a whole alibi. I give a whole teretz why I made a hadas baldin. So let's say witnesses testify. Witnesses testify that Reuven killed Shimon. Then the Bezdin is about to give the death penalty to Reuven for killing Shimon. Then the witnesses admit that they gave Eid a sheker, and they say they were bribed by the family. So we have a rule, Kima Shehigid, Shuvin Achoyz Amaga, they might learn that from it. Oh, so here, so that's by two Eidim. The Gemara says it's not Eidim. Even if they give a good Amasla, they give a very good explanation why they gave Eid a sheker, we accept the first testimony, we don't accept the second one. But in the area of Eidecha Nemen B'Yisurim, or in the area of Haidos Baldin, so we have Gemara. So let's say the husband comes home from work and he wants to be with his wife. The wife says, I'm Anida. Anida says he can't be with his wife. Then all of a sudden, the next night, the husband comes home, the wife is very coochie-coochie with the husband. So he says, what do you mean? You told me yesterday you're Anida. She says, no, yesterday I was angry, I was tired, I didn't feel well, and I knew that the only way to get rid of you is to tell you a lie that I'm Anida. So I told you a lie. But the truth of the matter is that I'm not Anida. So the Gemara has a discussion of this. The Gemara says she's nemenis to back out, since she, if the Beznav thinks that it's a valid amasla. It depends how much she did. In the days of the Gemara, the women used to have different clothing. They used to wear different clothes when they were nida and when they were torah, because they had to advertise to the whole world. Today nobody knows whether a woman is a nida or not a nida. It's none of their business. It's only they get to the husband whether he's allowed to be with his wife. In the days of the Gemara, days of the Tanoim, All the children in the neighborhood had to know. It wasn't a secret when the mother went to mikveh. The Gemara talks about the daughter's going to know that the mother has a daughter. My daughters don't know when my wife went to mikveh. Bizman hazeh, it says nagol hastel el tfilosim. You don't advertise even to the members of the family. But in the days of the Gemara, everybody knew. All the people in the neighborhood had to know: is the woman a nida? Anything she's going to touch is going to be tameh. Anything she's going to sit on is going to become tameh. So everybody knew in the neighborhood. It wasn't kept a secret. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, let's say the husband comes home and the woman is wearing big day nidus and she's sleeping in a different bed, and she a whole arichas, a whole story, and she did way more than was necessary in order to convince the husband that she's a nidus. So then tomorrow when she's going to give a teret, she's going to say, I was really tahira, but I was afraid, I was tired, I was angry at you, whatever, and I knew the only way to get rid of you is to say I'm tameya. It has to farem for everything that she did and everything that she said. If the Beznin thinks that she laid it on too thick the day before, then it's not an acceptable amasla. But if it seems to explain away everything that she did and everything that she said, if it's an acceptable amasla, it's good. The same thing, Haidoas Baldin. Let's say, there's a mishnah in the end of Ksubis. Let's say you live on a farm, and I say that you stole it from me. So the last 5 years, I'm claiming you stole the house or you stole the farm, and you're a ganef, and you say you're not. And we never went to a din ter. Then a guy comes to me and he asks me, Pliny is interested in selling the field. What do you say? That's the field that I say he stole from me. So I say, it's a good field, it's a wonderful field, go buy it. He goes and he buys it. Or let's say, I serve as one of the Aden. You're the ganef. I claim you're the ganef. You're selling the field, and they need two Eidim to sign on the shtar. I sign on the shtar that you're selling the field to him. And then a week after you sell the field to him, and I gave him the Eitz HaTayvah that he should buy it, and I signed on the shtar, then I come to the lekech and I say, I hope you realize the field was stolen, and I gave you the Eitz because I can't deal with him. He's such a meshugana. He's such a troublemaker. The ganef was too hard to get the field back, so that's why I gave you the Yetzirah. That's mamish lifnei v'lisiti mikshol. Matzi Yetzirah l'chaveira. That's why I told you to buy the field, because I figured you're a nice guy, you're easy going, so I'll be able to, when I bring you to the Torah, give it back to me. So that's the discussion in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that if the Bezin is satisfied with the Amasla, if it seems to farem for everything that he did and everything that he said, then you can back out. You don't say kivin shigat shuvin achayza magid afila idea masla. By Eidecha Demen Bisuim, by the Isha Nida, and by the Hadas Baldin, if he gives a good enough amasa and the bezin thinks that it's satisfactory, then you can't back out. So here the Gemara has a shiloh. The woman is in the Beis Hamikdash, and we erase the Parsha Soito, and we tell her, okay, now it's time to drink. So she says with a straight face, Eini Shoisa. So the bezin says, look here, lady, we see you're not shaking, you're not scared. We're going to take this, if you say with a straight face, Eini Shoisa, we will take it as an admission of guilt. So she says, take it whatever you want, Eini Shoisa. I'm innocent, but Eini Shoisa. So they tell her again, you say Eini Shoisa and you're not trembling, we're going to take it as an admission of guilt. He says, take it whatever you want. And then she realizes that they really mean business. So then later on she says, no, give me the Maimamorim. I'm not afraid. I'm really innocent. So the Shaila is, she made a Haidoas Baldin. Rabbi Kiva says that we teach ois, her statement of Enishoisa is considered a statement of guilt, an admission of guilt. And then later on she tainas, no. I didn't mean it. Would you accept that amasla or not? So that's what the Gemara is not sure. We know in general when a person makes a hidos baldin, you can't back out with an amasla. So that's what they're not sure. Is this an acceptable amasla? Boy, lahu, that is suffig. Omra eini shoisa machmas beriusa. She's not trembling. So Rabbi Kiva says, if the woman says with a straight face, eini shoisa after mechikas Hashem. After Mechikas Hashem. She says it before, so she says, Eini Shoisa. We don't take it as admission of guilt. But if she says it's so late in the procedure, you already brought the Minchas Soito, and you already wrote down the Shem, and you already erased it. Now she says, Eini Shoisa. So we tell her, look here, lady, you're saying it without being petrified, we take it as admission of guilt. And then later on, so she says, take it however you want. So she just made her Hadas Baldin. She never said explicitly, I am guilty. She didn't say Tamei Ani. She said, take it however you want. And then later on, because of Yom
Shoisani. How much later?
10 minutes later, whatever.
So it's still in the process of negotiation, and they didn't spill the water yet.
They didn't spill out the water yet. Also, the same selfie, But she realizes they really mean business. They're rabbis, they're really taking it. Eini Shoisa means that I'm guilty. So then she says, no, I'm innocent. I'm prepared to drink the water. And she says, I said it before. I didn't think you really meant you're going to take. She doesn't know before Mechikas Hashem. You can't say Eini Shoisa. After Mechikas Hashem, you don't let her, because we take it as an admission of guilt. So she tainas later on, and Amasla, I never meant it. So the Gemara is not sure. Is that an acceptable Amasla or not? Mahu, what's the din? Kevin the Armeni Shoisa Tameani Kamra, that's equivalent of admitting that she's guilty. The Kevin the Aksik Napsha Betuma Lamotia Hadrabo. It's not a valid Amasla. I don't know, maybe no. Kevin the Armeni Shoisa, if she says, now I'm prepared to drink. And we ask her, so why did you say before Eini Shoisa? So she says, I thought I'd be able to get away with it. I thought you didn't really mean it when you said we're going to take my statement Eini Shoisa as an admission of guilt. So the Gemara says, maybe Gal Yadait and Machen Ve'yasusu the Amra. So the Gemara says, take what they're not sure. The rule is, you can always back out from a Haidoz Baldin Adea Masala. That's Mishnayis. The only Shaila is, can you back out? Is this a valid Amasla? A couple of years ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago, there was a whole scandal in the newspapers. There was a couple were married, I think, in Montreal. So they were getting divorced and they had a little daughter, and the husband didn't want to pay any alimony, didn't want to pay any child support, wanted to get away with everything. I think the husband lived in Borough Park and the wife lived in Montreal. So the husband went in front of the Besdin in Montreal and he said, Kidashli es biti, I was mekabel kiddush, and the din is that Kolzman, the daughter is younger than 12 and a half years old, the father has the right to marry his daughter off. Which Meshuggah, a father marries off a daughter today before the age of 12 and a half. So he comes in front of the bed and says, Kidashti as biti, and I'm not going to tell you who the chassan is. He's going to paralyze it. She won't be able to get married for the rest of her life. The wife had the custody of the daughter. I'm not going to tell you who the daughter is, who the chassan is, unless the wife is mevater and all the didim ominous. And anything that any rights and privileges that the court gives the wife, that he has to pay child support and insurance and whatever, and alimony, he's only going to say who it is. So there were whole, so he did it, and they wrote it up in the newspaper. Then a whole bunch of, a few other people did it. And then they had a lawyer bring this up as a, what do you call it, a class action. So they had one lawyer representing a whole bunch of cases, and he went to the court. Claiming against the husband that they're impairing the minors, impairing the morals of a minor. It's against the law. It's against the din of machlusit.
The mothers took class action.
Right. All the mothers got together. They had a class action against all of these fathers who all did the same shtick. So, and the judge says he's going to punish all of them. He's going to put them in prison, whatever. You have no right to marry off such a young girl. The girl was only 5, 6 years old or something. So they're going to punish them. So then, when it came, when the jig was up, so they had one at a time. So the first husband said, it was all a lie, it was all a joke. It was just to pressure the wife that she should be Michael on the money.
Super.
That's what we thought all along. The whole thing was a joke. So the shaila was, is the husband Neman to back out when he says, Kidashti Azbiti? The deed is if two Adim come and they testify, whatever, Reuven Harga, Shimon, or Reuven owes $1 million to Shimon, even if they back out later with an Amasla, the Gemara says, Kim Shigan Shimon Achoza Magad doesn't work. If Eidecha Neman be Yisurim, or if Haidoaz Baldin, you have Mishnayis all over the place. If the person backs out, this Gemara also, this Haidoaz Baldin, if you back out with a valid Amasla, that seems to be reasonable, the Rabbanim think it's a reasonable Amasla, you can back out. This is a reasonable Amasna. We thought all along that the guy's probably faking. When he said, Kidashti is biti, I'm not going to say, Hagan said reidl. And then he says later on, the whole thing was just extortion, that she should be mevater on the money. So this was a discussion, can the husband back out from the statement, Kidashti is biti, Aidea Masl, do you treat that like Shnei Edim, or do you treat it like Eidecha Nemu Yisurim, or like Shavi Anav Shechaticha Di Yisurim? So the pashtus is that you treat it like Shavi Anaf Shechaticha Disuri. You treat it like Haidos Baldin. So the problem was that the Shev Shmaitze quotes a Chuvas Aran. If people wouldn't learn Shev Shmaitze, no one would have ever heard of this Chuvas Aran. Who sits and reads Chuvas Aran? I happen to have a Chuvas Aran at home. I took from my father years ago. My father had two, so I stole one of them. So I happen to have a Chuvas Aran at home. Who would ever? I never read this Chuvah though. This one everybody knows from the Shev Shmaitz. So the Shev Shmaitz, it quotes from the Chuvah Saran that if he said Bifnei Bezdin, Kiddashti is Biti, even Erecha Dem Yisurim, if he says it in front of Bezdin, then you can't back out with an Amasla. The difference is, why can two Edim not back out with an Amasla? Why is Erecha Dem Yisurim? Why is Hadas Badin? Why can't they can't back out? So usually in the yeshivas you say, Edim is a different din and it's a different din. So the Chuvas Aran says, no, Edim have to testify in front of Bezin. So if you testify in front of Bezin, you can't back out. Eidecha Nemu Yisurim doesn't have to be in front of Bezin. The husband comes home and the wife says, Tamei Ani. Or the man gave an Eitzah to the other fellow to buy the field. Or he signed Chosim Aleu Be'ed. He signed on the document. So that was B'Shalai B'Fnei Bezin. That's what the Chuvas Aran says. So whenever the Eid Echod would have testified Bifnei Bezna, here the husband said Bifnei Bezna Kiddashti is beating. So because of that Chuvas Aran, that's why there was a whole issue. The Achrayim didn't know from this Chuvas Aran. So Rab Chaim Volozhin has a Chuvah, others have Chuvah, they say Dovah Poshet, he can back out with the Ramasla. But the whole hullabaloo was because the Shev Shmaitz had quoted on Chuvas Aran that if they say it in front of Bezna, so then you can't back out with the Ramasla. So one of the Rabban, there's Rabbi Ramnik from Far Rockaway, wrote a whole tshuva, 6 tzadim lahakel, and he said he told me once that he went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Oybach, was still alive at that time, and he said Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't agree with all 6, agreed with one of them, right? So he said the husband is not neman, even before the husband backed out, he had a tshuva, the husband is not bagloip to say kedashti is biti. So Rav Shlomo Zalman agreed with him. So then one of the sons of Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Shmuel Oybach, was not there when his father spoke to him. So he said, it couldn't be, my father would never say that. But the other son of Shlomo Zalman was there. He said the father agreed with him. What do you mean? The son who wasn't there knows that his father never said. The son of Shlomo Zalman who was there said his father agreed with Rabbi Ramnik, Lahokil.
Is there a halacha that a woman can't, you can't marry off a woman until she consents?
If she's a ktana or a naira, the father has the ability to marry her off, even if she's screaming bloody murder, she doesn't want it. But the Gemara says it's an avera. You're not allowed to do it. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. Maybe she's not going to be happily married. What do you mean? A father marries off a daughter at the age of 6? That's ridiculous. The Gemara says it's usser. But he has the ability to do it. So he claimed that he did it.
They went to Rivka. Rivka said, ask her, and then she said, "I'll go." So I think that from there we learn.
From there we learn. You can't be mekadesh a woman without her consent. That it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to marry her off without a consent.
Miyun has to be in front of the Baal.
No. Miyun is only when the mother married her off. When the father married her off, it's a kiddush in their eyes.
So in his case, the father.
Yeah, but this gemara is a shaila. Is this an acceptable amasla or not? It's the story over here is she made a haidos badin by saying any shayster. Rabbi Kiva takes it as a haidos badin of tamei ani. And if a person makes a hadas badin, he can back out with a ramasla if the bezdin thinks that it explains the way everything that the person did. So here the Gemara is not sure, is this a valid ramasla? In Yerideya, in Siman Aleph, they have the following discussion. Those who learned Yerideya will remember, at the end of Siman Aleph, they have a story, the Sheikhed is shechting all day long, and those behemoths that he didn't do a good job, the behemoths that are nevela, trefa, so he makes a big mark. They used to make an X on the hide. Now they don't do it anymore because they can sell hide, they can make money. So why should he scratch a big hole in the hide, an X in the hide? So in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, in the days of Mishan, that's what they did. So let's say he's shechting all day long, and he makes a big X that this one is nevela, they shouldn't sell it. At the end of the day, he's ready to go home, so he takes that one, and he wants to buy that one. He's shechting for other, he's going to buy that one. They say, what do you mean? But you marked it with a big X, that's an avela. So he says, no, that was the best, that was a kosher shechita, and I marked it because that animal was healthier than the other, that flesh is better, and I made believe that it's an avela, that he shouldn't sell it to someone else. So at the end of the day, it'll be left for me, and I'll be able to buy it. I'm prepared to pay money for it. So originally, when he makes the X, that's he's saying that it's an avela. You don't have to testify the pet. If you put an X on it, that's the equivalent of making a statement that this flesh is an avela. And then he backs out later with an amasla, and the rabbanim are convinced it seems that it's a good amasla. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that's acceptable. So the Esker Kasha, but in Hilchas Nida, it says if the woman, the husband, comes home, and the wife says, Tamei anilach, we can't be together. So then, and then tomorrow night she gives a whole explanation why she said to me anilach. So it says she can back out with it. Amasla, that's a gemara. So then it says to Shulchan Aruch, that's only if she only said to me anilach. But if she laid it on thick, she put on different begodim, she did all the things that she usually does when she's a nida. So that's already too much. Whenever she does a maisa, then the amasla is not satisfactory, is not sufficient to back out with what she did. So they asked the kasha, what's over here? The sheikh had put an X on it. So that's what they answer. It's not a chok. It's not a loch al Moshe Mesinai. Maisa versus no maisa. It
difference.
Depends. If she laid it on thick, unnecessarily. Here, the only way to do it. What's going to tell everybody? So, the way he always does, he puts an X to say, to
how
indicate.
Do you compare that to what is it, Nida, or Bal Nida, in Chayiv Karis? I'm not
that's not a valid distinction. Erechon HaMisurim is by Kasheris and by Nida, by everything is the same. And you can always back out with an Amasla, and it has to be a satisfactory Amasla. The difference is that by the Nida, she laid it on thick, we say that's not sufficient Amasla. You didn't explain away everything that you did and you said yesterday. You said too much, you did too much yesterday. But by the Sheikhid, that's the standard routine that he does. He shechts behemoths all day long, knows how to nevel. He puts an X. He didn't do anything extra. He didn't go out of his way to do more than was necessary.
But the Amasla here is very different. In those cases, they're really not great consequences. But here she's willing to drink and she'll die. Very different than all of those cases.
I mean, it's a better Amasla.
It's the best. You can't get better than that. I mean, you can't even compare the two.
Okay. I don't know. That's a good point. It's such a good amasla, Itaina, she's prepared to give up her life. If she's guilty, she's going to die. So this is such a good amasla, this should certainly be perfect. It's a good Itaina. I don't know.
So how did he reconcile the difference between the shofet who exes and says it's okay and then not
so that's what they say, like they said before. The shofet didn't go out of his way to lay it on thick. That's what he always does. When an animal is in the bed, he puts an X on the hide. So that's the simen. They didn't have any labels. He put an X, that means that it's not kosher. By the nidah, not only did when the husband came home and he wants to give her a kiss, not only does she say, Tamei ani loch, he can't give me a kiss, she put on big day nidahs and she changed the pajamas and she changed everything. She did a little, she did way more than was necessary to keep the husband away. So we're not satisfied with the amasa. It doesn't farem for everything that she did yesterday. She did too much. He laid it on too thick. But the sheikh, he didn't lay it on thick. He did what he normally does.
Yeah.
That's what the Mefarshim say on Yeridei. How do we translate the last two lines before the Mishnah? How do we translate the words of the Chumash? It says she drinks the mayim hamor. May hamorim hamorim, may hamorim, the bitter waters hamorim. That's gonna, she's gonna die because of it. So what is may hamorim? It's bitter water because you have ink. He erased the ink into the water, so it's bitter water. So the Gemara says no. Amash, what does it say? Amar Abu Adishmuel, right before the Mishnah. Tzorch sheit emar the toch hamayim. You have to put in some bitter flavoring. Not only the ink. No, it has to be mayim hamorim before the ink. My time with Amakra may hamorim shemorim kvar. It's already bitter from before. Not bitter because she's going to die. That's hamorim. She's going to die. Hamorim means that it's bitter not because the ink was erased, even without the ink. The hamorim means you have to put in a dov amar. Okay. Some kind of a spice that gives it a bitter flavor. Something bitter. Okay. Horseradish is the shayla we always talking about. Some tiny that horseradish is not bitter. It's sharp. There are other things that are bitter. Horseradish is not. It's not bitter. That's what they tiny. The horseradish was a mistaken identity. Romaine lettuce is only bitter if you leave it in the ground very long. Usually by us they cut it off very early and it tastes the same as regular lettuce. It doesn't taste bitter. The Rishami, yes. How is romaine lettuce good? It's not bitter. So Shami answers, if you would leave it in the ground longer, it would have been bitter. So therefore, this is the correct min, even though it's not bitter. That's how we usually interpret the Rishami. The Chazon Ish held that it's only, romaine lettuce is only acceptable for more if you left it in the ground so long that it became bitter. We don't do that. We have romaine lettuce, tastes delicious, doesn't taste bitter at all. So we usually assume that the Rishami meant to say, if you would have left them in the ground longer, to grow longer, would have become bitter. So this is the min of moror.
What did the Chazon Ish use?
Romaine lettuce, but he left it in growing longer till it became bitter, till it has a bitter taste. Okay, the Mishnah continues with the Seder Hasoita. Achala nimchaka hamigila. That we said. Let's say the woman says tameyani. So that's the end of the story. Or if the woman says eni shoisa. So any shoisa after mechikas hamigila, it's too late. Either you force her to drink, or we take it as an admission of guilt. Achlegs are keeping everybody else. If she says any shoisa before mechikas hamigila, it's fine. Any shoisa. So what do? She already took the shvua. She already took the shvua, and they already wrote the megillas soita. So what do you do with the megillah? So what do you do with the Megillah? So the did is Megillosa Nignezes has Shema Hashem on it. What do you mean? You put it in Shemus, Bashi Pshat. You put it in Shemus. Bury it in Shemus. Tosis quotes, the top Tosis quotes, they quote, he's quoting every daf, they quote Yerushalmi. Tosis quotes Yerushalmi, there were doors in the basement. There were a lot of doors every so. Every building has doors all over the place. So you have to put it inside what do you call the hinges.
Hinge.
You put it inside the hinge of the door, so when everybody opens the door and closes the door all day long, it's going to get farib, it's going to get rubbed out. You're allowed to do that? It's a mechikas Hashem. You're allowed to do that. It's a pellet. That's what Tosis quotes Yerushalmi. You put it, tachas kirat tzira shalhechol, loma b'shvil l'shachko, in order that it should get erased, in order that it should get rubbed out. So that's a pellet. All the Mepharshim talk about it. How are you allowed to do that? It's a problem. So the Megillah, Megillos and Nignezis, you're not allowed to throw it out in the garbage, Hashem, Hashem in it. So you have to put it in Shemus, and the Yerushalmi says you don't put it in Shemus, you do gram. Is that called gram mechikas Hashem? The Gemara Masech Shabbos has a din that gram mechikas Hashem is mutam in HaTorah. Many poskim hold it's awesome derabbanan, but it's mutam in HaTorah. So that's gram mechikas Hashem, or is that mechika mamish when you open and close the door? You're rubbing it out biyadai. That's what the Mepharshim don't understand, how the Yerushalmi says that. Mishnah says Nignezes. I would say you put it in the Shemus.
Rashi said it's
and then
they
said Yeah. So the Bitsirei, they wanted to correspond with the Yerushalmi. Yeah. Yeah. What do you do with the Mincha? So, if you are Mekadosh, the Perek begins, Hoyimevis Minchasa, the previous Perek begins. You bring the mincha, you put it in a klisharis. So what do you do with a mincha that's in a klisharis and you can't go weiter? This mincha only makes sense to do the kmitz and to be makter it. See, the Rabbah, in the Mishnah, the Chachamim, the Reb Shimon and Rabbi Kiva hold first you makter the mincha and afterwards you have the ashkos asoita. So, before you're about to erase the Megillah, she says, Eini shoysa. So the Mishnah says, what do you do? So according to the Chachamim, you didn't yet makriv the mincha. You got to be makriv the mincha afterwards. According to Reb Shimon, the mincha was already offered. According to Rabbanan, and the Mishnah goes like the Rabbanan, you only makriv the mincha later, but the mincha was already in the Skadish Bikli. So if the mincha was in Skadish Bikli b'toyes, so it was never in the Skadish Bikli. Here there was no toyes up until the last minute. She said in the beginning, any shaisa. Husband is schlepping her to the Beis Hamikdash. She said, any shaisa. So you had no right to be Mekadosh the Mincha in the first place. So it never gets a Kedusha Guf Lamizbeach. You weren't supposed to put it in Klishot. But all along she said, Maskim. She's going to drink the Mayim Amorim. Then all of a sudden at the end she says, any shaisa.
It was a proper Hakrava.
They didn't do the Hakrava yet. It was a proper Hakdosha. They put it, Hakdosha was proper. So the mincha has kedusha, but you're not allowed to go weiter. You can't be do the kmitz and burn the kaimis on the mizbech. Have the kohanim eat the shiari mincha. This is a mincha that's only maskeres ovon. This is a mincha that's only for this specific purpose. Let's say a person is so happy, his wife had a baby, he brings a korban oiler to the Beis Hamikdash. Then he drops dead before they have a chance to be makriv it. So even if he died, you bring a mincha, you bring a shlama, you bring a whatever carbon it is, you bring it. But achatas not. Achatas and an asham is only for kapara for that. So this is maskeres oven. This mincha seita is maskeres oven for this particular purpose. So the Mishnah says, even though it's niskadish bekli, if she says any shoysa, so up until now, everything was kedin, it had a good kedush zaguf. But now you can't be makrivit because it's not going to accomplish the goal. It's like a chatas and an asham. Then you can't be makrivit just because you have a chatas running around. So the Mishnah says, what do you do with the mincha? Minchasa mispazeres al hadeshen. What do you mean, mispazeres? So Rashi explains, mispazeres, Rashi quotes, l'kamon daf chav gimel. See in the Rashi where there's a parenthesis, it says Daf Chav Gimel. So it says there it doesn't say mispazeres. There it says the following cases minchasem nisrofos. So kuchoshim, one of them that's listed is the wife says eni shoysa. So Rashi says you have to interpret that here. It means the same thing. Mispazeres ala deshin doesn't just mean you throw it where there's deshin in the Beis Hamikdash. You have to have coals on the deshin and you burn it. Normally you do a kmitzvasai. And you burn the kaimitz on the mizbech. Here you have a kosher and mincha, which you're not allowed to be makriv. It's like a chatos. You can't be makriv the chatos unless the bala korban is going to get a kapara. So here, let's say the bala korban died. So he's not going to get a kapara, so he can't be makriv the chatos. So here you have a minchas soita, which is a maskeres ovein, And she says, Eini Shoisa, so that's the end of the story. So you have to burn it, but not on the Mizbech. You can't do a Kmitz, you can't burn it on the Mizbech. So you burn it on the Psuli Hamukdoshim. That's what Rashi says. The din is when you have Karbonis, that apostle. So it says, Misaraftas on Isa Baish, you have to burn it. Where do you have to burn the Isa? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, if it's Kochi Kochim, that the Mokam Achila is the Azara, then you're supposed to burn it in the Azara. If it's Nifsal, the Mishnah has a paradoxical din. Let's say you have the Chatos on his Rafais. Normally, the Korban Chatos, you shech the Chatos and soften on the right hand side of the Azara. Chatos is Kochi Kochim. So the, all the Kochi Kochim is shech the right hand side of the Azara, that's called Sofa. The right hand, because looking straight ahead is west. So to the right hand side is Tzofen Azor. So you shecht it. You shecht it. And then you zorik the dam, and then the Kohanim eat the flesh. Chatos HaMesos is a special din. You zorik the dam, and then you have to burn the whole carbon. Nobody eats it. So where do you burn the carbon? So the Mishnah draws this paradox. If it's Nisraf Kimitzvasai, Chatos HaMesos, you're supposed to burn the Kimitzvasai, you're supposed to burn the Chutz L'Gimel Mafnas. If it's Nisrav Shaloi Kimitzvasai, because it's Pigal Naisa Tomei, and it says in Chumash, Saraptas on Naisa Baish, then you burn it in the Azor. One would have thought, Faket, the Sechel dictates Faket. If you're burning it Kimitzvasai, you should burn it in the Azor. Burn it Shaloi Kimitzvasai, you should burn it outside. So the Psukim say not so. When you have Saraptas on Naisa Baish, if it's Kochi Kochim, Pigal Naisa Tomei is supposed to burn it in the Azor. If it's Kochim Kalim, so the Mokam Achila is the whole Yerushalayim. So you can burn it in Yerushalayim. If it's Kochi Kochim, a mincha is a Kochi Kochim. So here, there's a mincha, and you're burning it Shaloi Kimitzvasai. Because you can't be makrifit. If you're burning it Kimitzvasai, you burn it on the Mizbeach, over here. You do the Kimitzah, you burn the Kimitzah on the Mizbeach. You have a mincha, you can't do the Kimitzah. She said, Eini Shoisa. So you stop the music where you are. So you have to burn it Shaloi Kimitzvasai. So since a mincha is a Kochi Kochim, so there's a Beis Hadesh in the Azara. There's a heap where they have coals burning in order to burn pigal naisetome of kochi kochim. So this is also a pasul of mincha. Mincha is a kochi kochim. So you have to burn it. This pazeris aladesh, and that just mean you scatter it. You scatter it and you burn it there. Because the Mishnah later says, Achav Gimel, mincha seim nisrafais. So it means you burn it in the mokum where you burn pigal naisetome. Why do you have to be goina as the Megillah? It says Megilosa Nignezes. Why? Wait till another Saita will come to the Beis HaMikdash. It's the exact same text. Every Megillah Saita is exactly the same word for word. So the Mishnah says, no, you need Lishma. The Megilosa Ksher L'Hashkas B'Saita Acheres, because it has to be written Lishma. What if she waits? She waited so long. Nimchaka HaMegillah V'Yamar Tamei Ani. What if they already erased the Megillah? So if she says, Eini Shoisa, we don't listen. Either going to Rabbi Yehuda, you force it down her throat, or going to Rabbi Kiva, when she says any choice is too late, we take it. If she says Machmas Beriusa, if she's not trembling, we take it as an admission of guilt. So if Nimcha Kahamagila, then we are Matmeyani. So what's the din? Hamayim Nishpachim. Again, up until now, there was Kines Tira, they brought it to the Beis HaMikdash. Everything is kashura, so the mincha has a kedusha. L'chayr, we're going to have to see. We're going to have to see the gemara. So the Mishnah says minchasim is pazeres al beis hadeshin. The same thing. The mincha has a kedusha as klisharis, so you have to burn it like it got a kedusha when you put it into the klisharis. You have to burn it on the beis hadeshin. And the mayim nishpachim, the mayim doesn't have any kedusha, and you pour it out.
It doesn't mention that in the first case. Also, nishpachim would be the first case.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a raya that she drinks after the mincha is done. Because otherwise it wouldn't be anymore.
No, the mach. They bring the mincha to the Beis HaMikdash, they put it in the klisharis. And it has kedusha aguf. Up until the time they put it in klisharis, only has kedusha's damim lamizbeach. So you can be paid it. If they put it in the klisharis, it gets kedusha aguf. But then, when do they actually do the kmitza? So that's the machlokes. So the Mishnah goes against Reb Shimon and Reb Akiva. Mishnah holds that you makta the mincha, you do the kmitza, the hagosha, everything, you do it all after she drinks the mayim amar. But it already had the kedusha aguf when they brought it to the Beis HaMikdash. That's how the Mishnah describes. So you may be as minchasa, and they put it into klisharis, and then they proceed by erasing taking the Shavua, erasing the Maim Amorim, and then afterwards he makta the Mincha. But the Mincha was read in this Kaddish before the Mechikas HaMegillah. So there is a Mincha to speak about. There is a Mincha to talk about.
If she says any shows her Rabbi, are the Maimish problem?
I don't remember.
We're going to have to. It still should be nishpachim.
I don't know.
Especially according to Rabbi Kiva, because he holds it's like the Duke of Omedes.
What else would you do with it?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to have to learn the Gemara. I don't remember what the din is. Well, if she says any shoyser, it should also be shoyfer. Should it be the same thing? Lachor should be the same. I think so. Yeah. What if Nimcha ka Megillah and she doesn't say Tamei Ani? If Yomra any shoyser, so then Rabbi Kiva says we take it as an admission of guilt. It's the same as Tamei Ani. The Mishnah doesn't go like Rabbi Kiva. The Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yudah. Ma'ari Mosa, Yifosa Mashke Mosa Bal Korcha. Then the Mishnah describes, Eina Maspekas, this part of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon. That she drinks the Maim Amorim, and right away she starts turning colors. Now, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva hold, first you bring the Mincha Soita, then she drinks the Maim Amorim, and as she's finishing drinking the Maim Amorim, then she starts, the Misa Mishina begins right away. According to the Chachamim, it's not so. She drinks the Maim Amorim first, and nothing happens. Has a delayed reaction. The miracle of dying doesn't happen until later. So this Mishnah is following Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon. Eina maspekes lishta, she doesn't complete drinking all the Maim Amorim. Achapaneo marikos, her face starts turning yellow and brown, all colors. Veinea boltos, the eyes start to bulge. Hemismalas gidim, and our blood vessels are bulging, and then they see the woman is about to die, so they don't want to have everybody in the Beis Hamikdash is going to be tummy. All the kohanim are going to become tummy. All the kelim are going to become tummy. So they say quickly, hey mom, if they scream out, hotziyua shaloi tatami hazara, take her out. She's going to cause everybody to become tummy in the Beis Hamikdash. We don't want that. Does the miracle always occur like that she's going to die right away? So the Mishnah, there was a machlekes hataram we had in the first parak. They're going to repeat it here. And the eshlo zchus, if she did mitzvahs and ma'isim tovim, the Gemara is going to discuss velcha mitzvahs and ma'isim tovim did she do already? The eshlo zchus hoisa toila lo. So she'll live on a little bit. Yes chus toila shana achas. Sometimes she can live an extra year. Sometimes up until 3 years. Where did they get this? 1 year, 2 years, 3 years? The Gemara is going to say based on Psukim. So some Tanaim said they deny that. How can it be? Schus is Taylor. So the women will think the whole Maim Amorim is a joke. Yeah, this woman, we all know the woman was guilty and she survived 3 years. So one Tana says it can't be, but the. It starts now. So still, some Tanaim say it can't be. How can you say Schus Taylor? It's assumed that she's supposed to start to die right away. And the Mishnah says no, that the Schus will be Toila. So Rabbi Lezer, right? What is it? Mikano, Ben Azai says, Chai Var Malaman is Bito Toira. A father has an obligation. The Pasuk says, L'maratamos mez b'neichem eloi b'neseichem. The Gemara says, the women are not mechuyev in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There are two parts to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. One is that Limud HaTorah is a heksha mitzvah that enables you to fulfill all the 612 other mitzvahs. So the women have to learn all the laws. They don't have to learn the laws of tefillin. They don't have to like tefillin. They have to learn the laws of honesty in business, because they go shopping in the stores and they return the items. Got to make sure that they're going to be honest about it. Have to learn the laws of kashrus, the laws of taras hamishpacha, the laws of Shabbos. Whatever is relevant for the women, they have to learn. Whatever is not relevant, they don't have to learn. The men have a separate chiyuv. Not only the maratim osim mishmatim lasasim to learn Torah in order to know how to observe the mitzvah. They have to keep on learning, even if they remember the dinim, they have to chazer, and they have to learn even the dinim that are not relevant and relevant for them. Let's say we live in Chutz Lords. So we have an obligation to learn all the laws of Zeroyim, even though it's not the Ge'er Chutz laws.
When you say the woman have to learn, you mean they are allowed to learn Torah Shel Peh, like Tuch HaShabbos, or Nida, or if it's things that are Nogea, they have to learn Torah Shel Peh, or they have to be learning, you mean the Halacha, just to know the
Halacha. They have to know the Dinim, yeah, they have to know all the Dinim. The men were also never really, the Gemara says in the Dorim, this Gemara has all three, the Dorim knows the Soita. So the Gemara in the Dorim, Lamed Ches, Gemara has an agadita that the original plan of the Ribbono Shel Olam was that Moshe Rabbeinu should teach over Kitzur Shulchan Aruch to the Tzibur. He doesn't have to give him the whole pilpul, all the Baruch Bears and all the Reb Shimons and all the Rab Naftolis and all the Rab Chaims and everything. Moshe Rabbeinu was a kind-hearted fellow. He was no Ektober sign. Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to give it to Moshe Rabbeinu as a matona. He has the right to hoard it, to keep it for his children, for his descendants, and they'll be the only ones who'll be able to pass Kenshailas because no one else knows how to figure anything out with the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSpem. The Gemara learns this out from a Pasuk. Vayitan al Moshe kechalos al Dabarita. Vayitan al Moshe gave him the whole pilpul shel Torah as a matana lo lezara. Moshe Rabbeinu was nog bo toiv asayin. So he says, hey, what am I going to lose? I'll share it with everybody else. So really, the ikar of Liman HaTorah for the men is also to learn halacha lemaisa the dinim. This is really the dessert on top of the dessert. This is the, really the icing on top of the cake. That because Moshe Rabbeinu gave it to us, so there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah to learn everything that we have access to. Originally, we weren't going to have that. So now, in a lot of yeshivas, the emphasis is it's off kilter. They spend so much time learning the pilpul shel Torah, which was never intended to be given to us in the first place. That was going to be only for Moshe Vizarai. And they don't spend enough time. They don't spend any time on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So the original plan was, the women only have to know the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch for Hilchos Shabbos and Kashrus and Taharas HaMishpacha and honesty in business and so on. And the men have to learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and Kol HaTorah Kula. But the men are not mechuyev to learn the Pilpul Shel Torah. But then once Moshe Rabbeinu was Nog B'Toy V'Sayin and he gave it over, so we have to learn that also. We should learn the Pilpul Shel Torah also. But we shouldn't replace the main Ika learning as the Piska Halacha L'Maisa with the Pilpul Shel Torah. That's what they do in all the yeshivas. They have de-emphasized Halacha L'Maisa, and they emphasize all the Pilpulim. It's a big problem, huh? The Gemara is going to say, the Ika, the next daf, the Gemara is going to say, the Ika is Lasuk Yishmaitz Aliba de Hilchusa. To know a Sugya, to understand what's the Maskonas Advar.
So the.
There are some yeshivas where they learn like that. And Eretz Yisrael, they have positions for Dayanus in the government. So they have a lot of Kol Adam where they learn for Dayanus. So they learn Eben Ezra, Chosh Mishpat, they learn Yerideya. But most of the yeshivas, they learn like in America. Pilpul Shel Torah. They learn only Rab Chaim's and Rab Baruch Ber. They don't learn Lasuk Yishmaitz and Liba de Hilchus. It's a problem. So the Mishnah quotes Mikan Abba Ben Azra, because there is such an institution that the schus will be toile, so a woman may hear that there was another woman who had an affair with someone and she drank the mamam arm, she lived, taka, she got sick right away, but they're going to forget about that. She lived 2-3 years after drinking my mamarim. So the women will think we can do whatever we want, we'll get away with all the shtick. So Ben Azai says, Chai varam lamed is bita Torah. A father has to teach his daughter Torah. She should understand Shem Tishta. If she'll drink the my mamarim, she'll survive Teda, Shazchus Tadala. Otherwise, they'll be making fun of the whole B'dikas my mamarim. So the father has an obligation to teach his daughter Torah. She should understand this. The other Tanar Ablezer disagrees. Ben Azai, we learned in the beginning of the Mesichta, there are two versions in the Gemara, whether Ben Azai never got married, or he got married, he married Rabbi Akiva's daughter and got divorced the next day. So he didn't know too much about women. He didn't have too much experience with women. Yeah, so Hashem L'Rev, the Gemara, how did he know about how long it takes for Yichud? So Ben Azai didn't have so much experience. He thinks that you have to teach your daughter Torah. It's very important. The other Tanaim were married, and they thought that it's not a smart idea to teach women Torah. Ablezer disagrees with Ben Azai. If you teach your daughter Torah, so the old girsa was, they're going to point out, you see from the Gemara, that this word ke'ilu doesn't belong here. The Gemara is going to correct it, that it should say ke'ilu. The original girsa was, a man who teaches his daughter Torah is loimda tiflus, is considered as if he's teaching his daughter preetzus, how to do an act of preetzus. Because the women are just going to use the Torah for improper purposes. So it's a machlekes. Ben Azai, this is a machlekes in psychology. Which way is best? So Ben Azai, who didn't know too much about women, because he was never married, never had any daughters, never had a wife for too long. So he thinks all the women should be taught Torah. Well, you have to teach them all of Torah. Teach them this, that the mind will be boikim somehow. No, he says, no, you got to teach them the whole Torah, and this should be part of it. You can't just teach them this. And the other Tanoim who were married, they said psychologically it's better the other way, not to teach the women Torah. Rabbi Shua says also like Rabbi Lezer. Usually Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua disagree. And here Rabbi Shua is saying along the same as Rabbi Lezer. Shua, my right, so he should be kava tiflus. Would a woman prefer to be very wealthy and not spend so much time with her husband, or to be poor and spend more time with her husband? So he claims, I guess he took a survey, Rotsa isha bikav, kav means hardly, you hardly have anything. Teisha kav means you have a lot. There are asara kavin of everything in the world. Asara kavin speech was given to asara kavin preachers, asara kavin of everything.
Kav is supposed to be a smaller unit.
A kav is 1/10 of the sum total of whatever you have in the world. So there's wealth. So the woman would rather make 1/10 the amount of money, bikav, and tiflis means to be with her husband, to have a good time of life, rather than have teisha kabin apricious, rather than have a lot of wealth and be missing a husband. So, mustama men also men would also enjoy being with a woman. So the Rabbi Yeshua is saying the same as Rabbi Lezer, that the women are interested in tiflis, could be the men are also interested in tiflis. So he doesn't think that it's such a smart idea to teach the Torah to the women. That the Mishnah concludes, who Hayoimer, Rabbi Shu used to say, there are a whole bunch of people who ruin this world. One is a chassid shaita. Sometimes people do meet as chassidus, but in a very foolish way. So the Gemara is going to give an example. A girl is drowning, she's wearing a bathing suit, and the guy doesn't want to look at the woman, so he lets her drown. Mishugana. Pikuch nefesh. Yeah, so the Gemara is going to give different a chassid shaita. Then you have Rosh Aram. A wise guy, he knows how to use Choshim Ishbot to cause people to be mafsid mam. The Gemara is going to give examples. Isha Prusha, sometimes women are a little too frum. Too much frumkeit is a bad simen on a girl. Makas Prushim, the Gemara is going to say what that is. So these five categories, Chosid Sheit, Rosh Aram, Isha Prushim, Makas Prushim, these four people, categories of people, are Mevali Olam. They ruin the whole world. You have to stay away from this. I remember I was once sitting next to Dr. Lehm at a wedding, so the Kala was standing under the chuppah shuckling, saying Tillim. So he was so upset. The Gemara says that's Isha Prusha. Psulta Tzal Naisa. The Gemara says a single girl who's davening all the time is a bad sinner. So he was very upset by the girl shuckling, saying Tillim. That's Dr. Gemara said. Psulta Tzal Naisa is a schlechte sinner. Okay, we'll leave that and next week. We'll have to go right. In the days of the Yovas, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yankif, they were very involved in Geirus. The Pasuk says, when Avram Avinu went to Eretz Yisrael, HaNefesh Asher Osa B'choron, so Rashi quotes the Medrash, Avram Avinu was Megayeres HaNoshim, the Sora Megayeres as HaNoshim. We don't have any psukim about Yitzhak and Yankif, but we have the opening Pasuk in Vayeshev. It says that Yankif was in Chutz Lortz for so many years, and he returns back to Eretz Yisrael. Vayeshev Yankif Beretz Mugurei Oviv Beretz Ginot. So the simple translation of Mugurei Oviv, Miloshen Logur Shom, that his forefathers, his father and his grandfather, Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, they used to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Medrash has an additional level of interpretation. Mugurei is Miloshen Geirus LeGayer, that in Eretz Yisrael, Avram and Yitzchak and Yankif, they all were involved in Geirus. The Jews were always proselytizing. But today, we don't engage in trying to convince the non-Jews to convert. So when did it change? At what point did it change? So the Meshech Chochma has an interesting comment. The Pasuk says in this week's Sedra that Yaakov Avinu had all of his 12 children, 12 boys and the girl, and then... And then the Pasuk says... He came close to the city Shechem. What does it mean? So the Gemara has different interpretations. So the Medrash has one interpretation He was kaveh at Chum Shabbos. He arrived there on Friday afternoon. He was kaveh. He's not going to go chutz l'tchum. So there's the Meshech Chochma interprets that to mean Chum Shabbos means al yete ish chutz l'mkomo. You have to mind your own business. You have to stay here, and you don't go chutz l'mkomo. So he thinks that that was the point when he came back there. It's Yisrael, and he already had all of his children, and realized not going to have any more children. Yeah, he already has to shift the course. You have to work on your own children. We don't work on anymore on the outside world. We're not interested in being to try to convert the whole world to Judaism. We have to work on our own children. We have to work on the Klal Yisrael. There are those who are opposed to the whole Kiruv movement. They say, what are you looking for trouble? They say that these people are Erev Rav. I remember one of the big rabbanim was saying, this is all Erev Rav. What do you mean Erev Rav? Erev Rav are the non-Jews who are converting to become Jews. These are descendants from Rashi, descendants from Abin Atam. They have yichas. These are not goyim. Of course, you have to do kirev on the Jews. We stopped doing kirev on the nochem a long time ago. The Osamech claims that it was at that point. He was kaveh chum Shabbos. But to do kirev with the Jews, of course, you have to do. So that was the change in history. And the original plan was. Nefesh Asher Asa B'chorin. The Rambam writes that there were tens of thousands of people that Avraham Avinu attracted to monotheism, and he converted all of it. He says Revavus. He says Alofim Revavus.
To what?
To subscribe to monotheism. Yeah, to become Jewish.
That's Shem Mitzvahs.
No, Sheva Mitzvahs they had observed anyway, but he convinced them of monotheism.
I thought that was his goal, that they should become.
I don't think so. Megayer means it was Megayer then. Shiva Shem V'Eva
taught what?
No, Shiva Shem V'Eva was for non-Jews, and they taught Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch. That's all. Ram Avinu, Judaism at that time only consisted of four Yichud Hashem,
and
monotheism, and Bris Milo, and Zionism, Satel Chos Haaretz Hazos, and Emuna. You have to have Emuna. And not to intermarry. The Gemara in Yevamos interprets the pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Avraham Avinu the matona of Eretz Yisrael l'chol zarach acharecha. So the Gemara says, what's the mashmas of l'chol zarach acharecha, that you shouldn't marry a non-Jewish woman because the children won't be Jewish. Zarach acharecha should be zarim yuchel zachrov. So the whole Jewish religion at that time only consisted of the Sheva Mitzvah Menach plus not to intermarry, to have Amunah and Yichud Hashem, Zionism and Bris Milah. Das gemeint der ganze Yiddishkeit. So he was talking to the Geyer people. And he and Yitzchak and Yankiv, even though we don't have such a medrash there, but the medrash here says in the beginning of Eish, Eretz Meguri Aviv, his father and his grandfather, they were all Megayer. Up until the point that all of his children were born, so then he understood that he has to work, he have to only work on Kirev, on the Jews. That's a good question. Where did they all disappear? An idea? Probably, yeah. When is Hanukkah? Next week? Tuesday
next
night.
Tuesday
the first night. Oh, next week on Hanukkah. Okay.
Rebbe.